I'm going to go ahead and turn this off. Being part of the media, you know, I'm cognizant about what's going on up here with all the lights, and we want to make sure. I said, well, do we want to put it up on the board, or we just want everybody to have their little handouts? We decided just for handouts this time, make it a little bit easier on everybody. Before we start, I know there's lots of things going on in our lives, but I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and what you do for us. We're small in number, but yet you know, and we know that your hand is on us because we are your children. You love us, you guide us, you direct us. Help us to reach the people around us because this world needs you so much now. So many things have happened just this last week in the world. We know we need you to help with all of this. So, Lord, we're asking that you direct us, guide us, put us where you need us. Help us to keep our mouths shut when they need to be shut. Help us to open our mouths and to speak when we need to speak. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Might want to cut it down just a little bit. I do project, and I wasn't sure how. Didn't want to overwhelm everybody. Keep you awake. At least nobody bugged out for the early luncheon like it was threatened earlier today, so I feel better about that. What I'm going to speak today about is do your best for God. Part of what we sang about earlier was having God sovereign. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. But yeah, we depend on him, and he moves us where he needs to move us. This is so important nowadays because, as I've told you before, I kind of watch BBC News, and the reason I do that kind of gives you a different perspective because a lot of things you hear in the U.S. news, very biased in certain areas, kind of locks you down into what's going on strictly in our country, which we need to know. And in our area. But you get a world perspective and you realize things aren't exactly the way we have been taught, raised, and grew up thinking they would be. So it helps give you an idea of what's going on worldwide, because God is moving worldwide. He's just not moving here in the United States. In fact, there's more Christians in other countries than the United States ever even thought about having Christians. Now that's kind of a sad thing to say in one aspect, but it's a great thing in another way. I heard the other day there was over 700 to 800 million Christians in China alone. That's a huge number. That's a huge number. And they're being persecuted. Great number of them are being persecuted. Other countries I read about, India, they were persecuting the Christian class over there. Some other areas of the world. So we're blessed here. We need to realize that. Sometimes if we have it too easy, we don't want to do our best. But yet, we need to do our best for God. Human promises. Well, I was an Eagle Scout. Doug was in scouting with me. We had a great time. We learned a lot of things. One of the part of the Scout Oath, many of you were in scouting yourself, is on my honor, I will do my best. And that's human effort. But it works pretty good. Scouting is a great organization. If I weren't part of Royal Rangers, I would be part of scouting. In fact, I was a scout leader for 7 years. So I did that, and I always said God trained me to do Royal Rangers through scouting. It's a great organization. I still love it. Still have a lot of friends in there. I really enjoy that. But yet one of the things they do is says, on my honor, I will do my best. And Cub Scouts, even the little Cub Scouts, they get in on it. Their motto is, do your best. Doesn't say they're going to do the best in the world. It says, do your best. And for the Scout motto is, I will do my best, not I will do the best in the world or the best in this troop or the best in the country. I will do my best, because everybody's best is not the same. Colossians 3:23, if we turn to that, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. That's hard nowadays, because most of us who are in the working world realize that they don't want 40-hour weeks out of us anymore. They want 50 and 60-hour weeks. They want us to work hard and long hours. And we try to do our best, but I know after a certain point, I know myself, I kind of, so many hours after in the afternoon, my productivity is really falling low. It really doesn't do me any good to stay longer. But, of course, we do when we're needed to. So we have to remember, we try to do our best. And this is talking about working at work and for other people. So we try to do our best. And we know I can't do much. Sometimes, you know, the older I get, the less I can do. I went out and trimmed some trees yesterday around my house, some small ones. Just wore me out. I couldn't stay out there very long. And so I did my best, but it wasn't what somebody else's best could be. So I know I have limitations, and God knows our limitations. We turn to Romans 3:23. And if I get there before you, I have these nice big tabs that I put on all my pages, so I know where to go pretty fast. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And of course, I'm not going to read the rest of that, but some of you can read beyond that, understand how that is taken up when we are justified. But we've all sinned. We've all can't do much. We have limitations. In 2 Samuel 12:13, even David, who was the greatest king of Israel, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. So even one of the greatest persons who have ever lived in this world just doesn't do very well. He still has his limitations. He sins. So it's like, well, what now? I mean, we have all these limitations. We're not doing very well. We're getting older, getting slower. Galatians 3:10-11. All of you who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Well, that means if we break one little piece of it, we've broken all of it. So none of us can do very much, because we're all limited by different ways. And in God's eyes, we were. There's no way any human could actually meet up to his standards. However, we all know here we have one who did. Jesus, the only perfect man. If we turn to Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So, we now have a target. What is the best? Jesus is the best. Well, that's a pretty lofty target. Jesus is the Son of God. John 10:30-39. This is the reason he could do the best. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? So how many of you have felt like in your life you've been persecuted because you did something good? I know I have. Many, many times, many things I thought, well, this was a really good thing I did. And yet somebody comes at you because you did. Whether it's because of jealousy at work or even in families, or maybe it's because of just a whole group of things that happen in our lives. So when we feel that persecution next time, well, I did good here, and now I'm getting one of my favorite little cartoons that I keep on my desk at work because I work with computers, and there's always issues that happen with computers. There's this guy, it's a little crude, but there's two little stalls sitting there, and one has a mummy sitting in there underneath the little stall, and his little wrappings are kind of hanging out. And another one is another guy sitting there next to it, and the caption says, unbeknownst to whatever happened in his life, Maurice found the wrath of the mummy just because of a mistake in... It was something like that. I'm sorry I missed that. Just because of mistake. So there's things that happen to us in life because we just go along thinking everything's great and everything's fine and something's going to jump out and grab us. And we go, God, why is this happening to us? Well, if it's happened to Jesus, why should it feel like we're something special? It's not going to happen to us. But even at that shouldn't stop us from trying to do our good. It says, we are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I have said you are gods. And if you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what is it about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? He was talking about himself here. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what the Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And I love this last verse. Again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. I know in many of the study Bibles it talks about, well, what did he do? He just kind of disappear, float away, or he used the Jedi mind trick? What did he do? He just kind of got away. But I think that is just so awesome that there they were going at him, and God wouldn't let him touch him. He just walked through him. For some way, somehow, we don't know how. We've seen it portrayed in movies in different ways. But he just walked through him, and they couldn't find him. I just think that is just great. That's one of those little things that crop out in the Bible. You look at again and again. It's like, wow. They were trying to kill him, and he just walked through. So we know that Jesus was the only perfect man and that we can't do everything he did. But yet, God keeps telling us to do our best, even though it's not going to measure it to what Jesus did. But how can we do that? What enables us to do that? Well, part of it is because we're children of God. And even Jesus said here that they will be called them gods to whom the word of God came. Well, we're not the God because we know the God and we don't want to claim that. But we are children of God. That makes us little gods. If you think about that, it almost sounds blasphemous, but it's really not. Because we are the children of the living God. That makes us special. That makes us real special. And even Jesus said in John 14, 12 through 14, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That's great, because we're trying to do what Jesus tells us to do. We try to emulate Jesus. And then the second part comes in. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. So, all these miracles we've read about, there's a lot of miracles in the Bible that Jesus did. It talks about that we, who believe in Jesus, will be able to do greater things. Doesn't mean we will, but we have the potential. We always have potential. The potential. Anybody ever tell you you've got great potential? What does that mean? Well, that means maybe you can do it if you want to. But it also takes an inner drive in order to do that. Jesus' power in us. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, I am strong. So Paul was telling them, hey guys, no, you're not going to be great. You're going to mess up. But keep going. Don't stop. Because with Christ's power on us, we can do pretty good. We can do our best. And who should we be pleasing in doing all of this? If we go to 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 through 5. On the contrary, we speak to men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our heart. Okay, so now we're shifting gears here. Do our best. Is it to do our best at work, around the house, at church? Even though we know we're not going to do great, we're going to try to do our best. But we're trying to please God. This is who we're trying to please. Not Pastor Doug, even though it'd be great. Not me. Not you. Not anybody. Not your spouse. Not your children. You're here to please God. That's what you're supposed to be working for. And when you do that, all the other things will kind of fall into place. So I think that's a great thing for us to think about. We're not trying to please men or women. We are trying to please God in all of this. I had a story I heard years ago. It was about King Arthur and his round table. I love it. It's one of those things you pick up and you just kind of set it in your heart and it kind of stays there because it kind of explains who you are and what goes on in your life. Of course, I like the Arthurian legends. I read them, all the little books growing up. Even made me a big wooden sword one time. Played around like I was one of the knights. That was great. Loved it. But I remember a story when I got older. I didn't quite understand this story younger, but as I got a little older, I really started to understand it. Everybody remember Lancelot, who was the king's right-hand man? I mean, he was the champion. He'd go out there and he'd take his sword and charger and lance and take them all down. But he had a problem. Everybody remember what his problem was? The queen. Exactly. It was a big problem. King knew about it, but he didn't want to break up everything that was going on with this ideal that he had with Camelot. So Lancelot struggled with this. He was a Christian man. He struggled mightily with this. One day they were at a tournament, and he was sitting on the sideline just watching things going on, and they were jousting back and forth, and a big chargers, big horses, and the big lances. Well, they come along, and one of the knights gets speared with one of the lances. And here it's supposed to be a tournament. They're not supposed to really get killed. And it knocks him off his big charger, and he's laying in the dust and dirt, and he's got this big spear in him, and they pull it out, and he's bleeding, and he's dying. And they're all running around, you know, you got to save him. So they grab Lancelot. He says, come over here. You're a godly man. You pray for him. And he'll live. And Lancelot's thinking, not me. I know who I am. I know what I've been doing. And it's not being a real godly man. Well, you need to come do this. And he's thinking in his mind. And they're steadily grappling, pulling him over here. So because he's the champion, you know, he's in front of all these people, they drag him over there, and he kneels down before the guy. And he lays his hand on him, and he says, God, you know who I am. I can't hide anything from you. And I'm sorry that this man's life, that they seem to have put it in my hands, but it's really in yours. Because you know who I am, you know what I've done, and it's not right. But I'm going to pray for him anyway because everybody's watching me. So he prays. You know, God healed this man. And he's sitting there and he's got his eyes closed because he doesn't want to look around him because he knows what's going to happen. They're going to think, oh, gosh, you know, the guy's going to die and everybody's going to see me for who I really am. And he hears some coughing and sputtering. He kind of opens one eye and he looks. And the guy starts moving around, starts breathing. Gets up, finally shakes around, and they all finally get the guy, and he gets up, he's healed. And so everybody's grabbing the guy, he's running off, and everybody's yelling, Lancelot, Lancelot, and he's sitting there just bawling his eyes out by this time. And they're going, somebody comes up to him, one of his fellow knights, lays his hand on him and says, you did a great miracle. And he says, you don't understand. The miracle is that I was able to perform the miracle. That was the true miracle. The God looked beyond who he was and what he had done and what he would continue to do. Eventually, according to the legend, he took the tonsure. And that means he became a monk. And he devoted his rest of his days to God. And this may have been a part of the turning point that caused that. Because he realized that even as a sinner, God was able to grab him and use him to perform the miracle. So the miracle, the true miracle, was not that the man got healed. God can do that anytime he wants. But he used an imperfect man who tried to do his best, Lancelot, to perform the miracle. That's one of those things that I know I'm not perfect, never will be until I get to heaven. It's one of those things that's just stayed with me my whole life when I heard that story. I think it's the way I feel about it. The miracle is that God allows me to perform miracles. That is the miracle. 2 Timothy 2:14 through 15. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So again, Paul was telling Timothy, if you want to do your best for God, these are some of the things you need to do. I want to close with that. And I know with almost certainty that everybody here is a Christian, is a child of God. You know, some people may slip in. We don't know that. But if you're not a child of God, then God offers you an invitation to become his child. So you could do your best for God. Revelations 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Romans 8:16, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." God doesn't demand perfection. If He did, why would He choose us? He would have perfect angels. Even the angels weren't perfect. We know that a third of them rebelled. So even His other creations, there is no perfection except in Christ. He doesn't want perfection, but what He does want is for us to do our best for Him as best we can in this life. Dear Heavenly Father,